I hope you've all enjoyed Stanton, Virginia. This town to me kind of has an agricultural feeling. We hunted a little bit to find a hotel that we could afford, and was kind of in the middle of our cattle country. Often these conferences are held in big cities. I went to one of these one time and thought I'd go out and see the city a little bit. Climbed on a bus and had kind of an interesting experience there. Sitting right in front of me was a man with his collar turned around backwards, and I you know, correctly assumed that he was a religious figure, and we stopped at a stop, and a man kind of staggered onto that bus, and it lurched forward, and he kind of staggered around and sat right down next to that priest, and I could smell even from my position that he smelled a little bit like a distillery, and there was some bright red lipstick on his collar, and I don't know how he'd gotten that there, but he shook out his newspaper and started reading, and in a minute he put his face, you know, right in that priest's face and said, "Say, Father, what causes arthritis?" And the father said, he reared back a little bit, and he said, "Loose living, the abuse of alcohol and tobacco, and consorting with evil women." And the man said, "Well, I'll be damned." And the priest kind of stood back a little bit. Well, we went on a little bit, and you could see that priest thought he'd been just a little harsh. And in a minute, he leaned over to the man and said, "Tell me, how long have you had arthritis?" He said, "Oh, I don't have arthritis." He said, "I was just reading here that the Pope does." All right, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is pregnancy determination. I am never happier than when I get to have a day. That's how perverted I am with my hand up a cow's rear end. Pregnancy diagnosis, a widely accepted procedure. I think it offers to us the ability to do timely culling of open cows. It aids in our culling decision for cows, along with other issues. It can be important in our breeding management, deciding whether to move this cow the next season, for example. And we can group cows for feeding and calving and other management procedures. This is the NOMS data that says, why do we cull cows? And pregnancy status only exceeded a little bit by age and teeth. Disappoints me that our small producers use it less than they do, but the bigger the operation is, the more likely they are to use that. There's an advantage. McCann, you... All right, well, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about the economics of this. This is USDA data saying how much it costs us to keep a cow, and kind of the economy of scale there. But even with 1,000 plus cows, this is 2008 data, and it sure hadn't gotten any cheaper since then. And a big part of the cost of keeping that cow is incurred as we, as spring calvers take her through the winter. And knowing that she's open allows us to do is to decide, is she really good enough to justify that $500 or $600 or $700 annual cost before she produces a calf? Or we can make some decisions with regard to that. Well, this is the reproductive tract of the cow. In the open and early pregnant cow, the reproductive tract is small enough and that it can be manipulated close enough so that it can be examined through the rectum. And so, here's the cow, here's the rectum, the vagina right below that. And some brilliant people years ago figured out that we could put our arm into that rectum and we could examine that uterus and the other parts of that reproductive tract and figure out some things. And so, for example, here is the uterus with a 65-day pregnancy inside, and it's readily obvious that this horn is larger than this horn. And with our hand in the rectum over top of that, we can determine that that's true. If you open up that horn, what you see is that here is part of the placenta, the chorioallantois that has the fluids in it, inside of a protective bubble that we call the amnion, is the fetus right there. And you can see that those, what makes it look like a pepperoni on a pizza, is actually the places where the placenta attaches to the uterus. There's the caruncle on one side and the cotyledon on the other side. And when you put those two of those together, I call that a placentome. And as this pregnancy moves along, that placentome can be palpated, as well as this membrane and this amniotic vesicle, and eventually the fetus gets big enough that we can palpate the fetus itself. The way that we detect this placenta is that we put our fingers in a way so that we slide across that uterine horn, and we can feel that placenta and especially the vessels that are in there move, and we call that a membrane slip. As that pregnancy advances, we have to go further into the cow in order to feel that, and so we're looking from inside the cow back towards her rectum, and you can see that this hand with a 90-day pregnancy and the gravid horn's about the size of a football at that point, and we can feel that and feel those structures that I've just talked about. As the pregnancy advances, then this uterus descends down into the abdomen. It gets a little harder to feel things. This hand probably can't reach all the way down in and feel the fetus in all instances, but we can still do the membrane slip. We can still feel the placentomes, and we can still determine that this cow is pregnant and make some estimate about how far along she might be. Well, this comes from LSU, but it's the things that I preach to my students day in and day out. Before you make a determination of a cow, you must examine the entire tract. I can picture poor little Emma just last week, and before I was through, there was a little tear running down the corner of Emma's nose, but she had committed the unpardonable. I had asked her, "Emma, did you feel this whole uterus?" And she said, "Yes, Dr. Whittier, I did. And this cow is open." And you know what? That cow was 50 days pregnant, and so Emma was lying to me, and you just cannot do that. If you have not felt the whole uterus, you need to say, "I want to look at this cow again," because they will catch you. You cannot lie your way through this pregnancy diagnosis. You must do that. You must find one of the positive signs of pregnancy before you call a cow pregnant, and those four cardinal signs of pregnancy are either feeling the fetus, feeling these placentomes, feeling the amniotic vesicle, or feeling the membrane slip. And, you've always got to do a thorough examination. And if you can't find it, don't try to lie about it. Come back later that day or come back another day and figure out what's there. This is a chart that's in your notes. I just wanted to show you that we've studied a whole bunch about what things can be felt at various stages. So not only can we tell you if the cow's pregnant or not, but we can tell you how far along she is by feeling these various aspects. Okay, well, a few years ago, we got a new technology, and that new technology is ultrasound. It's been around for a long while, but what happened was that we were able to create machines that were small enough and portable enough that we could perform this ultrasound in the field. And so you can see that, we started off with these machines that we set beside the chute. We eventually developed all sorts of devices so that we could see them. There's alongside the chute, but goggles and monocles and a smaller monitor that we can hang off our chest. And so ultrasound has become affordable and is getting quite a lot of use in the area of bovine reproduction. Just a little bit about what you see. Here's a 45-day pregnancy. There is that fetus inside of that bubble or amniotic vesicle. And when you look at it on the ultrasound, and I'm here to tell you it takes some practice to figure that out, but what happens is that the solid tissues look more white or gray. The fluid looks more black. And so here is that fetus there, and here is that vesicle that surrounds it, and it's floating around in this fluid that is the chorioallantois of this. And I give credit to Dr. Beal, who, of course, has spent a career at Virginia Tech, one of the pioneers in figuring out how to use that. And these are his slides showing what you can see at various stages of pregnancy. And these machines allow you, when you see the little dots with a star on each end, that's basically measuring the length of that fetus or the length of the fetus head or another aspect of that. And as early as day 25, you can see that there's a little bit of fluid there indicating that this cow is pregnant. Not only can we see and determine that the cow is pregnant, but it also allows the determination of the sex of the fetus. And this really takes some imagination and practice. But HL means hind legs, and so we're looking through the the bottom aspect of that fetus, and that P means that we can see the prepuce there, and we're a little bit further behind those hind legs, and believe it or not, that's a scrotum there. And of course, people become very talented at reliably deciding what those structures are. Here's the female version with the vulva right there, and we can determine the sex of these embryos, and you know, we've developed the ability to do that. All right, the third thing that's, of course, come on the horizon or is here for pregnancy diagnosis, our blood test for pregnancy checking, and got this from one of the company's websites, and it says that Dr. Sasser was the first one to discover pregnancy-specific protein B, so you see that abbreviated PSPB, and so a company established in 1992, and so that has the name of Bioprin, and that's the kind of abbreviated pregnant ruminant yes or no. And so that company is there, and you mail them your blood samples, and they're able to tell you whether this cow is pregnant or not based on that. Of course, there are and this pregnancy-specific protein B is produced by the conceptus, and it gets into the blood. There are a number of substances there, and so other companies have used some of those other substances, and you can guess from the name of this DG29 that this test is able to reliably detect pregnancy starting at day 29. Once again, happens in a laboratory. You mail the samples to them, and they do the tests. One that's just newer out is this one that's called the visual pregnancy test. That kind of sounds like maybe you're going to do it on the farm. In fact, that's not what they're recommending. What they kind of envision with this one is that your veterinarian buys the kit, needs to kind of happen in a controlled environment. But I think the concept is that you could get the cows up in the pen. You could take the blood samples and run those to the veterinary clinic, a quick test. Within a little while, they would give you the results of those tests. You could hurry back, and while the cows still are in the pen, find the ones that are open and sort those out and manage them like you'd like to. Just to tell you how this technology's gone along, now it's available as a milk test, and so you can imagine how convenient that can possibly be with programs that collect milk samples from dairies on a monthly basis, simply analyze those milk tests, those milk samples, not only for somatic cells and protein and butterfat levels, but to look at the pregnancy status of those cows as well. Well, I think you a lot knew all that stuff. The question that kind of comes around is, which test is best? And I guess I have to ask the question, well, what does best mean for you? Does it mean the most accurate? Does it mean the safest for the fetus in particular? Does it mean the one that's most convenient? Does it mean the one that's fastest? Does it mean the one that's cheapest? You know, in the end, if you're a producer making a decision about the pregnancy diagnosis that you're going to use, the class, I think all of those are going to be part of the decision that you make. Now, I just can't resist giving you a little lecture about this. How do we answer scientific questions? Well, in this scientific age, we've decided that there's a process by which we ought to do that. Now, I'm not going to give you a big lecture about the scientific method, but just let me remind you some of the aspects of that. We do controlled research, you know. Now, observational research has a position as well, and I understand that. But when we really want answers, you know, we take a herd of cows and we divide them in half, and we treat half of them this way and we treat half of them this way. And if we get a different response, then we say, you know, our treatment made a difference. Let me just say a little bit about statistical analysis, okay? Statistical analysis, I expect most of you had a class in statistics, and when you got through, you really didn't understand any more than when you started in there, okay? And I've been fighting with this stuff for my whole dang career, and I haven't quite grasped it all, but I do understand some important things, right? If Dave Whitlock one day is waiting for Terry Slusher to get his cows up and takes a quarter out of his pocket and flips that thing, and by golly, he gets 10 heads in a row, He can decide, I have got a magic quarter, and roll off to Atlantic City and find somebody to bet on the hopes that he can beat about several hundred dollars, because after all, he gets this quarter gets heads. The odds are when he gets to Atlantic City, he's probably not going to get 10 heads in a row and he's going to lose his money, right? All the time, people say to me, I bought 10 straws of semen from a bull and I only got two pregnancies out of that, and that must be lousy semen. In all odds, folks, the reason you only got two pregnancies had a whole lot to do with chance. It's just exactly like flipping the coin, right? And so when we're going to answer scientific questions, we ought to have enough data and enough statistics so in the end we can say the difference is statistically significant, okay? Well, then after we've done our studies, we publish it and we have referees look at the stuff and we come back and repeat it, and then we're left to take it home and apply it to our individual circumstances. Okay, well, all this technology, you know, I'll read it for you back there. It's Mr. Simpkins from our Chicago office. He must have phoned our fax number by mistake, right? Well, you can get into this technology and you can, you know, you can kind of get confused with some things. Here's what I did. You all have got proceedings or you got the CD. I looked through and found 13 studies that are published in refereed journals that look at the question of what is the best of these methods for pregnancy detection. And I hope that those of you that are really interested will go home and spend some time looking through those studies. Instead of just giving you a reference, you know, I told you what the reference was, I told you what they tried to measure, I told you how many cows they used, I told you what control they used, and I showed you the conclusion. Now, we don't have time to go through all of those 13 different studies, but the point I'm going to make to you is that when you look at the studies, all three of those systems for doing pregnancy detection make mistakes, okay? So, here's a study, only got 102 cows in it, was kind of comparing the blood test with rectal palpation, right? And in the end, the thing they did is they couldn't quite agree, and so they slaughtered the cows that the veterinarian called open. And Doc called one 88-day pregnant open. They slaughtered her, and there was the fetus, and by golly, he missed it, right? Bad day for Doc, right? Well, here is the ultrasound one. Is Andy Meadows here? I can just see Andy Meadows thinking to himself, by golly, I wouldn't have missed him, okay? But here's the Australian one. They used this scientific method, okay? And in the end, they came up, and what they were comparing was just looking at fluid, or did we actually find the fetus and see a heartbeat, right? And they were trying to see all that sort of stuff. Well, there's some big scientific words, positive predicted value and all that sort of stuff, but let me just point out to you here, this is a false negative. What does that mean? That means that the ultrasound technician said she was open, but when they came back later, by golly, there was a pregnancy there. And that happened 14 times in that study. Can that be? I can see Andy Meadows sitting back there saying, by gosh, if it were me, it wouldn't have happened because I have never missed one. Okay? But when we use the scientific method, by golly, somebody missed a few. Okay? And, here's one where we looked at ultrasonography versus the pregnancy-specific protein, and there's a lot of stuff back there. But in the end, they said, you know what? That pregnancy test called a few of them positive that in the end, the ultrasound said were negative. And the way they explained that is they said, you know what? And you all know that have used that they really caution you that the cow has got to be, and they're a little bit different, but basically 60 days after calving, because those proteins stick around for a while, right? Well, what happens is, if that cow got pregnant, but then loses that pregnancy at day 60 or day 65 or day 70 or day 90, that stuff sticks around for a while, right? And it doesn't mean that the test isn't working. It's just inherent in the system. That stuff is there, so the test is going to say she's positive, despite the fact that she threw that fetus out a few days ago. Okay? Now, pregnancy checking and safety, okay? My clients are sitting over here, and they're ready to cover their heads, you know. If you don't like, a little conflict in your life, maybe now would be a time to get up and go get a cup of coffee, right? Okay? I did not pick this fight, but by golly, I'm not going to back away from it either, okay? Okay, here are my friends at BioTracking that does BioPrim, okay? And when I get on their site, there's an analysis comparing rectal palpation, which I love dearly, okay, with their test. Okay? In the first place, they've got a problem with the economic analysis, too, because despite the fact that they charge for the veterinary palpation, where is the $2.50 to $3.50 that's their test fee? So I don't think it's fair, okay? But in addition, right here, they charge my veterinarian for an embryo death cost and a test inaccuracy cost, okay? And you can click on the little button to the stage that gives their explanation of what that means, okay? And there it says, rectal palpation is not as accurate as bioprint in determining animal pregnancy. Inaccurate detection of cows ultimately costs the owner money. Really? Where's your data? Okay? I have not seen it, okay? And I looked, spent quite a lot of time preparing this talk, looking through the literature, okay? Y'all are saying, Whittier, where's your data? There's my data right there. Dr. Kazmanekam did our study. I'm a co-author in that, okay? John Hall and John Curran, I blanked that out so you wouldn't be embarrassed, okay? But now you know, when I graduated from veterinary school, that's me right there, okay? 679 cows that I called pregnant. Did we check on whether they were pregnant or not? Of course not, because I'm always right. If I say they're pregnant, they are. If I say they're open, they're not. But the thing we did do is that we were checking these cows in about 90 days. Department of Corrections, thank you very much. These were your cows that we used. We were checking these cows in about 90 days, and we were predicting whether they were going to calve to AI or whether they were going to calve to National Service. I missed 4% of them. 100 pregnant cows. Two of those cows that I said were pregnant to AI calved to the bull. Two of those cows that I said calved to the bull would calve in the AI, okay? I make a few mistakes in that regard, and there it is. You know, I published that data right there so you can see it, okay? Well, here is what that page takes you to about pregnancy loss, okay? And the nice thing is he gives us a couple of references. Abbott in 1978, Alexander in 1995. I'm running out of time, okay? There's the Abbott study right there, okay? And I'm just embarrassed as heck because there's a guy right there named Seidel that is sitting right here, okay? And so, but he's on next, so he gets a chance to do the rebuttal, right? Okay? All right. They did two trials. In the first trial, there was no difference in pregnancy loss between the cows that were, between the various kinds of palpation that they used to detect that. And that's really what they were comparing is, did they palpate an amniotic vesicle or whatever. In the second one, however, they measured a difference. Okay? I know that that's teeny tiny print, but let me point out to you that half of the pregnancy loss is attributable to one palpator. And they didn't do the economic analysis to figure out whether it was just one guy that was being too rough, but this study has been reported a whole bunch, and I think they had one rough palpator, and can that really be, right? Okay. In their study, they looked at whether veterinary students palpating or not made a difference, and guess what? It did not. No more pregnancies were lost in this study when the veterinarians did that. Okay? Here's the Alexander study. Totally misquoted, okay? Here's what it said. Embryo loss was not affected by palpation per rectum. Whoever put that on that bioprint page didn't do his homework, because it actually supports my side of the deal, right? Okay, I'm going to finish up by telling you about a study that I think is a really good study to look at that, and I'm going to have to summarize this really quickly. In this study, they ultrasounded cows, and so ultrasound was the control, and they ultrasounded and pregnancy checked these cows between 28 and 35 days, I think that's right, okay? About day 31, okay? Yeah, between 28 and 35 days. In some cases, they only ultrasounded them. In other cases, they did either one fetal membrane slip or two fetal membrane slip. They had a lot of cows, okay? They had 800 and something cows. And so half of them were in a control group. Ooh, control group. We like that, right? And half of those cows were in the one membrane slip or two membrane slip, okay? The conclusion is that pregnancy diagnosis by one or two fetal membrane slips performed during the pregnancy check did not increase the pregnancy loss in dairy cattle, okay? A really good study. So I'm going to finish up by really quickly talking about advantages and disadvantages of the various ways, okay? So what are the advantages of rectal palpation use? It's immediate. While we're standing right there, right on the spot, we can look at her body condition, look at her udder, look at all those other factors and decide whether she needs to be cut or not. We don't need much equipment, right? A sleeve and my arm. We can stage the pregnancy. We can make some assessment of the viability, and we can make a good to fair assessment of the normality of the fetus and the dam. Okay? Cheap to moderate cost. Hurts my feelings if that's the case. I wish it was high cost, because I educate veterinarians every day that would love to do this for you. Okay? Disadvantage of rectal palpation, it's invasive. We go in there and we touch stuff. Okay? There is a very long learning curve. All the time I say to my students, you cannot charge anybody for this until you've done 1,000 of them. 9 out of 10 of my students, by the time they've done 1,000 of them, are competent to go out and have you pay them to do this. Is there potential for damage to the dam or fetus? Well, we've examined that a little bit today. The availability of a veterinarian or technician has to be there, and is there some potential for error? What are the advantages of ultrasound? Once again, immediate determination allows all those things. Stage the pregnancy, and I think we'd admit better than we can do it with our fingers. Excellent assessment of viability. We can look at that heartbeat and see if that fetus is alive. And good assessment of the normality of the fetus in the dam. What are the disadvantages of ultrasound? It's invasive. Expensive equipment is needed. And it isn't just buying the dang things. It's keeping the things fixed. And maybe they hold up better for the rest of you. But I'm here to tell you, we have torn up an awfully lot of them in our practice at the veterinary school. A long learning curve. I don't know whether you need to do 1,000 of them, but I promise you, you'll miss some the first week that you're trying to do this. Potential for damage to the dam, the availability of a veterinarian technician, potential for error, moderate to high cost because we've got to buy that machine and train somebody to do it. And does it take a little longer than palpation? Maybe so. The blood test, what are the advantages? It's non-invasive. Okay? Less skill is needed, and they point that out. You've got to learn how to take the blood sample, and that's it. It's available when no technician or veterinarian is available. Relatively inexpensive equipment, a shorter learning curve, and maybe less potential for error, but we could argue that one. Disadvantage of the blood test, moderate to high cost, no immediate determination. The visual one in the vet clinic next door, that probably helps that a little bit. No staging of pregnancy, no assessment of viability, no assessment of the normality of the fetus or the dam. And with that, I'm sorry I took a little extra time, and you know me, I'll be around to argue with you the whole rest of the day about what I just said.